series called God's Gospel. God's Gospel. And before I begin it, where's Paul? Come on up here, Paul. Paul has a story to share with us today.
Have you ever had your past rear its ugly head? Friday night, I was coming home and come around the corner, and this guy steps right out in front of my pickup to flag me down to talk to me. Now, I knew this guy way back when I was a different person. And over the years, he's seen my life change. And he says, I want to know if the Tuesday men's meeting is still going on. With a look in his face that he's searching, he's hungry for the truth. He knows where he's going, or where he's been going isn't where he needs to be. So in this particular case, the ugliness out of my past hopefully will have or already has had a good impression on this young man's life. And so I just visited with him about the men's groups on Tuesdays, and hopefully he's going to follow through and get connected. Our past isn't as always as ugly as we seem to think it is, or at least the outcome of it isn't as always as bad as what we thought it was. So I just thought that you might appreciate the fact that here's a story out of my past that is having a positive impact on somebody's life in the present. Amen.
We call that a win, W-I-N. It's a win. A win happens when someone is making progress in their faith walk. That's a win. Is there a win happening in your life? Some sort of progress going on. Whether it's a teeny weeny baby step or something huge, it's a win. It's a win. And as we think about winning in God's kingdom, God tells us to expand his borders and to be involved in his kingdom. So today, in our fourth in the series, God's Gospel, we're going to talk about friendship faith today. Friendship faith. And so the point of this series is, as we gain assurance, the whole thing I've been talking about is gaining assurance, reassurance perhaps, that we are in with God. I talked with an 89-year-old lady one time, and she says, you know, I don't have very many years left for me. And I said, I bet you're glad that you're going to heaven. And she said, I hope. She didn't know. And she'd been going to church many, many years. She did not know. She did not have assurance of her salvation. When we don't have assurance of our salvation, we tend to do this. We tend to cower a little bit, don't we? Or hide. You know, because I don't want you to ask me a question I don't have an answer to. And I'm not sure what you might think of me if I tell you I'm a Christian. And so we tend to hide, and we're not bold when we don't know for sure I'm in with God. Okay? So, having assurance that we are with God. So I've been saying all along, I didn't put it in this sermon today, but all along we've been saying three things about the gospel. Okay? The gospel comes out of what book? First, the gospel message, that Jesus died, buried, rose again is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses about 1 through 8. That's the gospel. Jesus lived, died, was buried, resurrected to bring us back to God. 1 Peter 3:18. Okay. He, the righteous one, died for the unrighteous one to bring you to God. There's the gospel in another passage, right there. The gospel is great news. Went to the doctor the other day, and the nurse is not one I've seen before. He usually, Diane usually takes me into the little room and takes my blood pressure and tells me how good looking I am and all that stuff. And of course, they charge me extra for that, you know. But we were talking about how pretty the flowers have been over the summer. And I said, you know, it just reminds me of heaven. I'm so glad I'm going. I'm just so, so cool to know that I know for sure I'm going to heaven. And she said, I didn't know you could ever know for sure. The next time I go back and see her, I'm going to pick up that conversation. Remember when you said, what do you think my next question to her should be? What are some possible questions I could ask her? Okay, that's not a question. That's a statement. But we want a question. That's down the road. I'm sorry? Are you a Christian? Could be. And I don't know. Where do you go to church? Maybe she says, I don't know. I don't go anywhere. She wants to know for sure. So a question I could ask is, do you remember our conversation last time? Would you like to know that you could know for sure? I could show you that. Simple questions. And that's what friendship faith is about. Really easy questions. Okay? Anybody here like somebody to ask you about your life? Do you like that? When somebody says, tell me your story. I don't know you very well. Tell me your story. I think most everybody loves to tell some piece of their story. And friendship faith is about just that. So as we gain assurance that we are saved, that God has changed us through Christ, his resurrection, he has changed us, he is changing us, and he's keeping us. Okay, remember this, everybody do this. Remember this. Everybody do this. God is keeping me. Remember that? We did that a couple Sundays ago. God is keeping me. Yeah, God is keeping me. When I've been really good, God keeps me. No? What do you say? Yeah, even if I've been naughty. I'm going to make a statement and see if you agree or disagree with me. Statement is this. I think most sin that we do is premeditated. We've thought about it ahead of time. You know, we might have thought about it for 10 seconds ahead of time. We might have thought about it for 10 days or 10 months ahead of time. But we've been thinking about it. We premeditate. We plan. And then, boom, preparedness hits opportunity and we sin. Okay? Even then, God is keeping me? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. See, this is assurance. Because if we don't have that kind of assurance, brothers and sisters, you know what we have? We're hiding again. Mm-hmm. We're fearful. We're full of fear. Fearful. We don't want to be that. The more we experience the fulfillment of out of our assurance, out of our assurance of knowing I'm saved, I can obey God more boldly. And the more I obey him, the more confident I become. Wow, this is awesome. I failed at an attempt to obey him, but he's keeping me. He's keeping me. And I get to try again. I get to try again. And the cool thing about obeying God more and gaining assurance, there's this really big side effect to that. of obeying God more and gaining assurance, obeying God even more, getting more assurance. The side effect to that is that I look to the less, to the world, for fulfillment. The things I used to look for fulfillment, to make me happy, because I'm discovering God fills me when I obey him in a filling I've never had before. Years ago, back in, it must have been around January of 1995. Caitlin Bailey, as a sixth grader, had come into my office a few months previous to that and said, "Delbert, I want to be baptized." And I said, "Great, I need to talk with your family. I'll come over and we'll visit. And we'll, you know, so everybody can hear what that means. And then you as a family can decide together." And so we went over there. That started into an eight-month Bible study. Stephen Kay, Tessa, and Caitlin. And once a week, I'd come over and we'd study. Well, one day I didn't get lunch. And then I was late, didn't get dinner, over to Bailey's for a couple hours. It's about 9:30, I'm driving home. And I'm going, I am not hungry at all. This evening has been so fulfilling for me spiritually. I don't care if I eat anything tonight. This has been so good, I'm full. Ever had that happen to you? This is the kind of fulfillment God gives. It's supernatural. It goes beyond what the body can do, what the body wants. My body was satisfied. It was awesome. It's really cool. So anyway, I have this idea. I have this crazy belief that says this: Christians who know they're saved are unstoppable. Call me weird, I don't care. I think that's the way it is. Is that the way it is? Thank you, Wayne. It's the way it is. If you know you're saved from, Chris was talking about knowing what we're saved from and then what we're also saved to, I think we become unstoppable. Wow. I like the idea of thinking I'm unstoppable. Not because I want to be powerful and all that, but because God has work for me to do that I cannot do when I'm doing this. Protecting myself from circulation with people. Do you know that you're significant to God? Do you know that? Really deep down in your deepest soul, do you know that you are significant to God? You are loved by him beyond what you can know. If ever you think God is mad at me, God is angry with me, he would never want me back again because I felt like I've slipped away from him, you don't understand his love for you. His love for you endures forever. The psalmist said over and over and over, his love endures forever. Your life has an amazing purpose and significance. Here's proof. Your God is trusting you with his greatest treasure. You've heard me say this before. Any guesses to what his greatest treasure is? Audience participation time, okay? Any guesses? What do you think God's greatest treasure is? Amen. The hearts of people. The hearts of people. And God trusts you with the hearts of people. People in this congregation, people in this town, people in this state and country and world, he trusts you with their hearts. How do you feel about that? Excited? Scared? A little both? Yeah, when God says, I trust you, and here's my next command. You ready? Here it is. It's really a complicated command, so listen close. Go. That's it. Go. Amen. That's right. Matthew 28:19. Many of us know this by heart. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Ah! There it is. Go. I trust you with the hearts of people. Go. But Jesus, I don't trust me with the hearts of people. What if I... And you fill in the blank. Brothers and sisters, God has equipped us. You know how we know that? You're here. Someone somewhere in their life brought you to a relationship with God. And you still attend church and you still connect with God through scripture and prayer and you're connecting with people. You're doing service. You are investing in the kingdom of God. You are investing in the kingdom of God. This great verse is known as the Great Commission. The Great Commission. I've heard this term less in recent years. When I was younger in church, I heard it all the time. And talking about the Great Commission. We're going to talk about the Great Commission. Jesus has commissioned you to go and share, teach, baptize, teach some more. There's a problem, I think, with the terminology. One word can trip us up in that title, and the word is great. This is the Great Commission. Well, that means then you need to be a Billy Graham or a Louis Palau to do a Great Commission, because I'm not great. I won't be great at it. I can't relate to a Great Commission. So here I am today to propose this. Let's change the name. I'm not against Scripture here. Scripture didn't call it the Great Commission. Man did. So I'm going to change the name from Great Commission to Common Commission. How about that? Let's change it to the Common Commission because the common people can do it. God said go. He must think we could. So let's change it to Common Commission. All of us can do this. The Common Commission. Well, how do we accomplish this Common Commission? Well, we do it according to the scripture we just read. First of all, we do it by going. Go is the command. In the Greek, it's present participle, meaning as you go. As you go about in daily life. Okay, think of your workplace right now. Think of other people at your workplace. Oh, there's a field to go to share with. Friendship, faith. As you are going out and about. Paul Tate driving down Main Street. He could have drove on by. He didn't. As you are going, be ready. Keep your eyes open. You know, think of this. Jesus is walking down the street in Jerusalem. The crowds are around him. Out comes this call. Jesus, hurry. My kid is dying. Get here quick. A 911 call comes. And what we didn't see Jesus do when he received that call was this. Oh my goodness! And left the crowd. He didn't do that. Jesus heard the call and made his way because as he was going, he was paying attention to what was going on around him. Now, maybe he wouldn't have stopped to deal with someone right there, but he would have made a mental note, I'm coming back to this. But he was paying attention as he was going. As we are going about in our daily lives, pay attention. to what's going on around you. Because, why? God is always at work to draw people to himself. And if that's happening around you, then be ready to share your hope. Be ready to share a smile. Meet a need. Offer a prayer. This is friendship, faith, as you go. Secondly, we can accomplish friendship, faith by caring, just caring for people. The cool thing about your marketplace, where you work, where you play, where you rest, that's your marketplace. That is where you are usually around people, and that everyone has a story they hope someone else would care to listen to. Do you know how to listen? Would you consider yourself a good listener to other people? Active listening. You know, we've all been taught about active listening, you know, keeping eye contact, not interrupting, hearing someone else, not formulating your response to them while they're still talking because you're really not engaged in that moment with them. Active listening. It takes work to do that, doesn't it? To really hear another heart deep enough that heart knows, I just got listened to. Caring. Our world is so void anymore of just simple caring that listening is huge. And it's so simple to do. Let me illustrate. Ken, would you come up here with me? I know you're not microphone shy. So we're going to role play here a little bit. Scoot back out towards the center of the stage a little bit. In the cord here. Okay. And I'm at work, whatever my workplace is. Just visualize your own workplace. And I come across Ken. And we've seen each other before, but we really don't know each other very well. So your name's Ken, right?
That's right.
Yeah. You've been working here how long? Where have you been working at school?
Well, I've been working here about 3 years.
3 years. Yeah. That's good. What do you like about working here?
Oh, I love the kids.
Oh, yeah?
I love the kids.
You have a heart for kids.
I do.
Mm.
I really do, and I like to see them succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Is there things you like doing with the kids, especially that helps them succeed?
I'm the Cheerio man.
The Cheerio man. Tell me about that.
I carry a package of Cheerios with me, and it's amazing how much good work you can get with three Cheerios.
With three Cheerios?
Three Cheerios.
I see you have some sort of technique. What is that?
Oh, yeah. Through three Cheerios, you can get someone who doesn't understand language at all,
mm-hmm.
do a task, and learn something.
Wow.
And they just get three Cheerios for a reward.
So that's cool. So I bet they like that from you, too, then.
Yeah.
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 It's a connecting thing. Cool. That's awesome. That's awesome. That is really cool. What are other things you do at the school?
I work with a nonverbal autistic kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm teaching him to be able to survive in the world. You know, his mother won't be able to take care of him forever.
Yeah.
So he has to be able to do tasks that you and I might think are simple, but when you can't understand language, are very hard.
Yeah.
And so I work with him every day. He's got a schedule he keeps. He's got a job he does now. He's learning. Just the other day, he learned to match colors.
Oh.
And you might think that's a little thing. He was so excited he was spinning.
Oh.
I can do this. I can match colors.
Oh. Yeah. So how do you let him know that you are happy for him or celebrating with him?
He knows expression. Oh, he knows excitement. Yeah.
Cool. That's. Thank you for telling me this.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, that's really great. Thanks, Ken. See, just asking questions. That's all we're doing. F- finding out a little bit about another person's heart. Did I tell him anything about me? Nope. Wasn't there for that purpose. That can come later. Oh, okay. Yeah. He said, I told him I cared because I was interested in his life. So, friendship caring, friendship faith. Okay? We lock ourselves up in fear because we make that interchange a project instead of a person. What do I mean by that? Project is, here I'm talking to Ken, and I'm thinking, somehow I got to turn this to Jesus. So how do I do that? No, don't do that, because that's not genuine. Love people genuinely. The Holy Spirit will bring the opportunity. You'll know it when it happens. But just engage, ask questions. It really is that simple. Now, I'm saying that. I'm used to doing it. But start out with one question. It doesn't have to be 10. Start out with one question. You might, their response to your question might prompt another question. Even if it's just one question, one answer, say, thanks for telling me that. That's really cool. Okay? How many of you can do that? Yeah. Awesome. Sharing and caring. So this caring idea. We share the gospel by caring. And then finally, we share the gospel by sharing. By sharing. Because you now have something you believe is important. And you can share. Perhaps one of your questions is, you know, I see that you're struggling at home with whatever issue they have. And perhaps you have had that same issue. And you can say, can I share with you how I found help for that? Yeah, you can tell me that. I want to know. I found that placing my trust instead of in me, Jesus helped me figure that out. It took time. But I have a support family around me now that understand where I'm at. I don't have to hide from people with this issue, because several people at my church helped me walk this path, this hard thing that I do. And it's just so good to have that. I'd like for you to have that too. Would you consider that? I'm not telling them they have to. Just consider it. Would you consider that? How long did that take? 20 seconds? See, when we start thinking, I got to make this somehow successful, I got to do, stop. Stop. Just share what excites you about Jesus. Just share it. Because every one of you have something about that Jesus that excites you, or else you would not be here today. You have something. Share it. When I was a youth pastor in Cottage Grove, one of my youth sponsors, John was his name, and a big, burly guy. Kind of scared me. And he had a sense of authority around him. And we were talking to the kids about sharing, you know, just anything about Jesus. And they said, we don't know. And he says, well, what do you not know? I don't know all the answers. Well, okay, let me ask you this, kids. How many of you watch the Super Bowl? How many of you go to the football games at the high school? They raise their hands. How many of you know what a football is? Okay, great. How many of you know what a pass is? Okay, good. All right. And do you know the positions on the line? No, well, I know some of them. You know where the quarterback is? Okay, great. So you know what a football is. You know what a quarterback is. You know what a play is. You know what a touchdown is. Share that. Tell someone about that. In the same way you know something about Jesus, share it. You know something about Jesus. Share it. And I'm looking at John, I'm going, that's profound. That's good. He just took fear out of those kids. And they went, oh yeah. Yeah, I know a few things about Jesus. I can share that. Well, that was good. As I've kept that with me the whole time. Well, you have what it takes. Say this. Say, repeat after me. I have what it takes. To care, to share. Yeah. You do. God has invested in you. He has given you himself. His name is the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. You can make it happen. And it's simple caring and sharing. You guys are excellent. You are excellent at caring. My family's proof of that. You have upheld us, cared for us for 22 plus years. We're thankful. I know you know how to care and share. So this morning, let's respond to God. Worship team, come on up. You have in your bulletin a half sheet that has the Louis Palau info on it. Is that right? Is that in your bulletin? Okay. This is one way. We're just giving you ways to share this opportunity. This is one way for you to care and share. Hey, this is a great event. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be this BMX guy there. He's going to do some really cool stunts and stuff. I think your kids would love that part. And we've got a Christian concert coming. We've got a speaker who will just touch your heart. Really, he will. I've listened to this guy. I think it'd be great encouragement to you. Would you consider coming with me? Okay? It's wonderful. Jesus said one word. Go. Church, let's go. Shall we? Let's go. Let's go. Let's respond to God this morning in song. Stand with me.